We're going to be in Luke chapter number 2 today, Luke chapter number 2. It's imperative that we all be in our place for the cantata practice this evening and next week. We only have 2 weeks left, and looking for a good turnout and praying that the Lord will bless us with many visitors, that we can be a blessing to our community. So that's the information on that is Friday the 15th, correct, Brother Jim? And then again, Sunday morning the 17th. We're presenting it twice. So if you have anything to do with the cantata, please, we have two practices left. We've got to put good forth effort into getting those days' practices in. That'd be a big help for that, if you'd help us out with that. I believe that's all the announcements today. We had a wonderful time yesterday at the open house. Thank you for coming out and just fellowshipping with us and having a good time of friendship and building on those friendships. It was good to see you that were there, and where we had a wonderful time. All right, Luke 2 and verse 8. Luke 2 and verse 8, we'll read down to verse 18, and we will begin to look at a subject. It has to do with building up to our Christmas message, of course. Last week we looked at at Joseph, the character of Joseph, and his life. And today we're going to look at the shepherds and have some comparisons to our life today and the shepherds then. All right, Luke chapter 2 and verse number 8, let's read there. And there were the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came and upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Verse 11, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. If you would, real quick, before we talk a little bit about the scripture we just read, if you'd look over, I believe it's in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. This here will kind of help us understand the statements I'm about to make, and then we'll get back into the passage of scripture. Now hold your place in Luke, because we'll be going straight back there in just a moment. But in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, you notice the scripture says there in Galatians 4:4, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now the time had been long planned for the Lord Jesus Christ to be born. It had been in plans for even before the earth was formed in Genesis chapter 1. The Bible teaches us in Revelation 13:8 that Jesus Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. So here before He was born of a virgin, the plan and the hour for Him to be born had already been set into motion by God. And the words of the prophets had been spoken, and the Spirit moved upon the prophets as we read through, as we read the Christmas story throughout the Word of God. We were just waiting for the fulfillment. and centuries would pass, centuries would pass. Then at the fullest time, at the right time, when God said it was the time to happen, God sent forth His Son. And when Mary gave birth to Jesus, that a long-awaited hour of the birth of the Messiah finally came. I mean, it was here and it was upon us. And it's amazing to me that the witnesses that were called to affirm what the prophets had said were just simple shepherds, just simple shepherds. And as we look at these characters throughout the Scripture and we begin to notice things about the time and the hour and the moment that the Scripture said it took place, the shepherds were invited to Bethlehem's manger to see the newborn Savior. Of course, we know now that this babe not only was the Messiah and the Savior, but He's also King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there's coming a day when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that He is King of Kings. But at this moment, they're invited to see the Messiah, see the Savior, and it's a babe born in a manger. You know, as you think about this, and you begin to ponder, when you think about a king, you think about a Messiah, you think about something, and you're thinking about a kingdom, you're thinking about, a mighty king and his heir, the heir of the throne. And all of a sudden, in verse 8, in Luke chapter 2, you notice in verse 8, chapter 2, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. When you make the announcement, you know, I don't know about you, but when announcements are made, important announcements, are made, we expect them maybe, you know, in the middle of the day, maybe at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or 5 o'clock in the evening. But in the middle of the night, we find there an announcement that was made. And it was not made to all around. It was made to some shepherds that were upon the hill in the middle of the night. And as I begin to think about this here and begin to look at it and ponder this thought when I was preparing for the message, it reminded me of how it was when I was lost and without Christ and without hope. And it was in a dark hour. It was in a dark state. It was appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment, as the Scriptures plainly says. It says for in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When you think about death, you think about that, it's a darkness, a night, it's a dark time. And so we think about this birth and we ponder the thought of birth, of this birth. We think, well, surely it would have been in the broad daylight. It would have been at a time when all people could have heard the announcement and everybody could have been there. But it was just, as I pondered, I was thinking how fitting it was that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would be born at night, and that it would be announced to shepherds, just simple little shepherds there out there keeping their flock and keeping their sheep there. It kind of reminded me of the world and the state the world is. The world is in spiritual darkness. It was in spiritual darkness back then. It was waiting for the fullness of time. So even the birth of Christ at the time of the birth kind of represents where men stood with God. They stood in darkness. They stood in their own sin. They stood in their own works of their hand. And they stood without hope outside of Christ. And here was Christ born when the greatest need of the hour would. And He came to us, like it says in Romans, that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I wasn't religious. I wasn't on my way to heaven. I wasn't doing good works, because it's not by works that of righteousness which we can do that's going to accomplish us anything outside of attaboy. Good job. You did great. When you stand before Jesus Christ, He's going to look at you and see what you've done with His atoning blood, if you've accepted Him as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you've not put faith and trust in Christ and repentance towards God, He's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. So it's not by the works. It's not like you can present something. So the very presentation of Christ at night just kind of reminds me of the state of affairs I was in personally, of course the world as well, when we were without Christ and without hope. Look with me, if you would, over in Romans chapter 13, in the book of Romans chapter 13. I would keep your Bibles handy this morning because we're going to probably look at, I would say, probably about 8-10 passages of Scripture this morning to help us get an understanding of what I'm trying to say here this morning. Because, you know, sometimes as a man, my thoughts, especially my thoughts ramble, to and fro here and there sometimes. And so I find it best that if we're trying to get some serious thought in, let's just stay with what the Bible says and let the Scripture point out what I'm trying to say. In Romans chapter 13 and verse number 12, if you would. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. Christ was born at night, and he was born to deliver those in the darkness of sin. Look what it says in Romans chapter 13 and verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. And so Jesus there, the announcement came in the night, and the shepherds there, and we were in spiritual darkness and dead and trespassing and sin. But Lord, when we accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, as it says in Ephesians 2, he's quickened us, or he's made us alive where we were dead, and now we're alive in Christ Jesus. Look with me over in Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter number 6. And you'll see that the birth that night had power and brought forth a way to bring destruction to that darkness that we were in. And in Ephesians chapter 6, if you would, verse number 12, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says there, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. And this is what it says, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual weakness and wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching therefore unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So in that night, the Savior was born. In a picture to me that showed the state of the world. We were in a state of darkness. We were outside of Christ. We were alienated from God. And God is light. And he was born there. And then there's power in that birth to bring to destroy the powers of darkness. And we as God's people, dear friend, we have to be very careful that we are constantly putting on the armor of God. So often we put on one portion of maybe, and we put on the breastplate of righteousness, and we wear that breastplate of righteousness. We walk around like a rooster strutting, and we look how righteous I am, and well, we got the breastplate of righteousness on, and look at what, and then it becomes all about what we are, and before long, the fiery darts of the devil maybe hits us in the foot where we should have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. We're not fully armored. We have to be careful that we do not concentrate solely on one area, that we allow ourselves to be fully armored, because we do fight against spiritual darkness. And let me tell you this, the devil does not play fair. Does not. So often we say, well, I'm doing really good in my prayer life, but we don't pick up the Bible and spend time in reading. Well, I'm doing so good in my reading, and I've memorized 6 scriptures this past month, but we spend no time in prayer. I'm praying, and I spend time, I've memorized scripture. I spend a little time in the Bible constantly. I'm eating that spiritual food, but we alienate ourselves from God's people. There's no fellowship with God's people, and there's no strength, and the devil's aware of all of that, and that's why he says that is to help protect us against the wiles of the devil, because he's very crafty, he's very subtle, and he comes at every angle. And if you notice something about the armor of God, there is nothing in the armor of God that is placed on the backside. And too many of us Christians are turning tail and we're running, and we get shot in the back and get wounded because we're not standing and facing the enemy, because greater is he that's in me, says 1 John 4:4, than he that's in this world. Now, why don't we have anything in the back? And I begin to ponder that thought and begin to think about it. And I says, well, because we're to be working side by side. The Bible talks about being striving together, working together. And as we surround ourselves with other Christians and we make a complete circle in Christ, my brother or sister in Christ is watching this side, and my brother and sister in Christ is watching this side, and my back is protected because we have fellowship one with another. Many times we do not follow through on all this, and we're fighting spiritual battles here. Too often we fight each other. We need to stop that and realize that this is a spiritual battle. So Jesus was born at night, and it pictures to me that the world was in a state of darkness, and then God gave us power that He would allow us the ability to fight against this darkness, not with our own power, because you read it there, nowhere does it say with your own might, with your own strength. Zechariah said it like this, not by my power, not by my might, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord. That's what we got. This is a spiritual battle. Everything that we're in is a spiritual battle. And then, what night must have meant to the shepherds and unto the angels, as they were told to show up down there and tell the shepherds, that the Messiah was born there in Bethlehem. Night was a time of weariness. Do you think the shepherds was not tired? You think about the job of a shepherd. I mean, their whole job is to move sheep or goats or whatever they're herding from one place to eat, one place to water, one place to protection. It's an all-day job, all day. And so they're working, they're moving the animals here, moving the animals there. Guess what happens at night? Guess who comes out at night? The wolves. The devil's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's why we have to be careful to stay away from the darkness of this world. That's why we have to be careful not to open up a small crack in our mind, because the world will get in before long, dear friend. The old saying goes, if the camel gets his nose under the tent, he's coming in. If the devil gets one foot into your life, dear friend, he's not just going to back out and say, oh, I'm sorry, let me clean that up for you. Matter of fact, the New Testament teaches us that if one is chased off, he will go get 7 more worse than him and bring it back, because the devil does not like giving up what he has taken control of. The night was the end of another day of unfulfilled ambitions for the shepherd. Listen, to be a shepherd was like the least of jobs. You remember King David? You remember when the prophet came to look for a king? And all the sons was marched in one by one. They said, surely it's this one, Lord. Surely the prophet said, maybe it's this one. And he says, no, this isn't it. Do you have another son? We got one. He's out keeping the sheep. Just a lowly job. Unfulfilled ambitions, dear friend. Listen. God is not looking for a king in his service. He has a king. Too many times we think we have to be the king. Make me the king. No, Jesus is the king. You just need somebody to be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Night was a time of all kind of uncertainties. All kind of uncertainties. You think about the wolf coming in, what might happen. If you're a shepherd, you know, you're watching over the flock, and maybe you're watching over Brother James's flock. He's done entrusted it. He says, listen, you get them to the market, fatten them up, I'll pay you at the end. Guess what happens? If the wolf gets six or seven of them, it's done cut into his pay. It's a time of uncertainty. That's why, listen, the whole picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being born at night to me shows a time of uncertainty. And then the angelic announcement. Man, isn't it amazing how salvation changes everything? It's amazing. Let's go back to Luke real quick, if you would. It's night. It's dark. The shepherds are out there. I don't know about you. Have you ever been woke up out of the dead of sleep with the bright lights all over you? I mean, just like, wow. It's kind of like startling. Time of uncertainty. You think, oh, you wake up, you think maybe all of your sheep are gone. You don't know what's going on. And all of a sudden, it says there in verse number 8, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. In verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. I remember when I was living carnally, living in the flesh, and chasing the lust of the flesh, and I throw in a little bit of religious work here, and you know, and I would try to be a good husband every now and then, on, you know, every other week or so, I tried, you know, just thought it was the thing to do, you know, just trying to do right, you know, trying to be a good father, and then trying to be a good worker, and I was trying all these good things, Brother Ray, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me that there's none good, no, not one. No, it wasn't all of a sudden dawned on me. The Word of God was presented to me. That there's none righteous, no, not one, that all have fallen short of the glory of God. It didn't just happen all of a sudden. What happened? Somebody presented me with gospel truth. Somebody presented me with the Bible and showed me what God said, not what man said. Show me what God said in His Word. And as it was presented to me, dear friend, I was in a dark state. I was spiritually lost. I was on my way to a devil's hell, dear friend. And I accepted Christ, my personal Lord and Savior. And it was just amazing the change that salvation wrought. Perfect? Lord, no. I still make mistakes. I make more than mistakes, Brother Bill. I still sometimes sin. You understand, dear friend, laziness is a sin? I know you. I know what you was thinking. I'm not a sodomite. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not a gambler. I'm not a drunkard. Sometimes we simply get lazy, don't we, Brother James? Do you understand glutton is a sin? Hey, Richard, you're meddling now. I know. Because we always want to meddle with everybody else's sin. You're all right if I meddle with somebody else's sin. As soon as I'm meddling with the drunkard, I'm meddling with the fornicator, I'm meddling with the adulterer, I'm meddling with the homosexual, I'm meddling with the thief, with the criminal, I'm meddling. Oh, it's okay. Get them, preacher. Sick them. Get them. As soon as I talk about your prideful self, you're high-minded, you're heady, thinking too much about yourself, you say, why is he talking about me, Brother Chris? And we get all bothered. For listen, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. And I'm going to tell you, when Jesus gets involved, dear friends, all things begin to pass away. Whereas I used to want to stay at work and spend time at work and tell my wife I was working late, and I'd head home, you know, and I'd go home. I'd tell my bus, listen, I really don't want to drink tonight. Something began to change. I don't want to just do good. I want to be Christ-like. Things begin to change. There's an amazing thing when Christ moves in that takes place in a person's life. And the light of the glorious gospel begins to shine. Do you see that, verse 9? So it's night, verse 9, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Suddenly, on the hillside, where it was dark, and it was uncertainty, and where there was fear, where there was unfulfilled ambitions, all of a sudden the glory of God began to shine, and the light of the gospel began to shine, and the darkness in their lives about them began to go away. I mean, it just began to fade away. And the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of His glory began to show. You understand about in creation? In Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 3, what was the first words that God ever spoke that we have written down? Genesis 1, 3. Let there be what? Who spoke that? Let's go there and look. Don't take my word for it. Go to Genesis chapter 1. It says it there, Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be light. That's the first recorded words that we have written down in our Bible that God spoke. But wait, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But it makes an emphasis. Let there be light. Look with me in Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27. We're going to run through about 6-7 scriptures right quick on this. Psalms chapter 27. Verse number 1. Psalm 27, verse number 1. Listen to what the Bible says. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Go to John, Gospel of John, chapter number 1. Gospel of John, chapter number 1. Look what the Bible says in verse number 4. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1, and verse number 4. John, chapter 1, verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John, chapter 8. John, chapter number 8. Verse 12. Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. 1 Peter, chapter 2. 1 Peter, chapter number 2. And verse number 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. 1 Peter 2, verse number 9, the Bible says there, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of Him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And verse number 23. It says, born at night. But soon as Jesus showed up, the angels began to proclaim the glory of God. The glory of God began to remove all darkness. This is what happens in salvation. Revelation chapter number 21 and verse number 23. The Bible says, and that city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. What an amazing thing. You and I was lost in sin. No hope, in darkness, on our way to a devil's hell. And when Christ was presented to us and we accepted Christ, our personal Lord and Savior, the light of the world began to move in. And if in that city there's no need for a sun and there's no need for a moon to reflect the sun because the Lamb is the light, then pray tell, dear friend, tell me, why do we as God's people with the Holy Spirit of God living in us, why do we always want to finagle and tangle ourselves up with the cares of this dark world? Because we are the light of the world. We're to be like a city upon a hill, letting our light shine so this lost world in the darkness has something that they can see and somehow they can get to and some way they can understand that Jesus Christ loves them to come to the light. Amen. To come to the light. Dear friend, I'm afraid to tell you that many of us are not like Motel 6 as Christians. What's their slogan? See? You knew it. Isn't it amazing what marketing does to us? I'm convinced that this day and age and what's going on with Christianity, dear friend, is that we have too many men of God that do not want to be preachers of the Word of God. And they're not presenting the light of the Word. So we have a lot of God's children turning out the light. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, because I knew you wouldn't believe me. So I wanted to show you. I already knew in the back of my head, they ain't going to believe what I just said. All preachers are good. The Bible says if everybody speaks good to you about as a man of God, you're a false prophet. You're not supposed to be harsh. You're not supposed to be cruel. You're not supposed to be mean. But I'm going to tell you something, dear friend. You preach the book. You preach what the Bible says, and people are not going to like it. And they can't get to God. They can only get to the messenger. Isaiah 8:20. What does the Bible say there? Brother Bill, read it to me.
To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
I didn't say it. God said it. You find a preacher that ain't preaching this book, dear friend. Turn off your lights. You don't have to live holy. You don't have to live righteous. You don't have to be separate. You don't have to be peculiar. You don't have to be different. You don't have to share your gospel with nobody. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to pray. You don't have to come to church. You don't have to sing praises. You don't have to. It's because there's no light in them. And they keep turning the lights off on us, and lost people are needing Christ. And the only way they're going to get it, dear friend, is we turn the lights on. Turn the lights on. Have you ever heard this saying about people? Man. These people, these jokes over here, I'm going to keep it to myself. I'll tell some of y'all later because this is a good one. Nobody's home because why? You know what? When this world comes looking for help and searching for help, they're coming to look for some light. They're coming to look for somebody to share with them the light. We're not the light.
Too often we want to present ourselves as the answer. We're not the answer, dear friend. I tell people all the time, they want to talk to me, and they say, listen, I need some help, I need you to listen to me. I say, good, I'll listen to you, but I'm not a psychiatrist. I am a preacher of the gospel of the Word of God. I can present you with Bible truths. I told you one time I was counseling with a man, and after counseling with him about six times, he came in and he showed me another problem, and I reached to grab my Bible and go show him the answer, Brother James. He says, oh, I don't need that. I bowed my head and said, Lord, thank you for this meeting. I pray that you'll bless him. In Jesus' name, amen. We're done, sir. But I come to talk to you. No, you said you didn't need that, so we're done. Because that's all I have. Is God and His Word. I don't have 45 minutes to lay you down and listen to your ghost story. We can go camping and tell ghost stories, build us a bonfire. But you come needing spiritual help, dear friend. If we can't talk about the Bible, I can't help. Can't help. The light of the Word. Verse 9, go back to Luke. We're almost done. So when the angels begin to speak, I mean, the light just shown about. Why? Because it was showing us in this birth of Christ who and what Jesus really is. And go back to Luke verse 9. And let's read 9, 10, 11. Look at there at 9, 10, 11 real quick. So it was at night. Jesus was born because it was a picture of the world in darkness. Then the angel showed up to proclaim the glory of God. The glory of God began to shone round about. That's what happens in salvation. And then you notice something. There was a time of fearful fright that overtook them in verse 9, 10, 11. The Bible says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They were afraid, dear friend. Many of you sitting around this time of the year are afraid, fearful, not knowing what's going to happen, what's next, what's going on, dear friend. Listen to me. In Jesus, you have the Prince of Peace. And the Bible teaches us that God will give us the Holy Spirit of God that will shed abroad our hearts peace that no man can understand. Your difficulties may be there. Your heartache, your pain may be there. But the peace of God will be with you and walk you through that dark hour. There's an amazing thing, dear friend, when the light of God is revealed and His holiness, it oftentimes shows us, not oftentimes, every time, shows us our sinfulness before God. You remember the story in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, I believe it was, when King Uzziah died? Then all of a sudden, Isaiah, great prophet, a tremendous prophet, saw the Lord. And the Bible says he saw him and his train filled the temple. And this is what Isaiah said. The great prophet Isaiah said this, woe is me, because he saw the holiness of God, saw the righteousness of God, saw the greatness of God, and it revealed to him who he really was. I am convinced, dear friend, I am convinced to no end, when you find yourself in a backslidden state, and you wake up to the point that you are walking contrary to Scripture, you're walking contrary to truth, and you're walking outside of the principles of the Word of God. Dear friend, you don't need to run away from God. You need to run as fast as you can back to God, so you can get under the light of God, and so God can show you the dark pit holes that you were walking down and about to fall in and be trapped in. The message to the shepherds. Simple one. A Savior, which is
Christ, the Lord. Church, listen to me. These simple shepherds, keeping sheep by night, witnessed the angel, and then a multitude of hosts came and told them that the Savior was born. And then they said one thing. Go back to Luke. They said a couple of things. Verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and peace on goodwill toward men. This is what the angel says. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Listen to what it says. Then the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see these things which come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. This morning I'll tell you, dear friend, if you're sitting here lost without Christ, you're going to have to come to Jesus. Nothing I can do for you. I wish I could. I wish I could snap fingers. I wish I could hocus pocus you. But you're going to have to come to Jesus. Come to Him and know Him as your personal Lord and Savior. If it's been revealed to you that you're sitting in darkness without Christ, without hope, I'm not saying you're not religious. I'm not saying you haven't been a good person. But being religious and being good is not going to get you to heaven. Only Jesus is going to get you to heaven. The shepherd said to one another, let's go see if this thing be so. I challenge you at the end of this service, come. Let us take the Word of God and show you from Scripture that what I'm saying is so. So that you can accept Christ and let the glorious gospel of the salvation of God come in upon you and the Holy Spirit of God move into you and the light of God begin to shine and go through your life and say, hey, you can do better here. This is wrong. This is not right. And He begins to fix it. Begins to chisel away and begins to make you Christ-like. I challenge you to come. Then, Christian, it don't end there. If you're saved, you've been coming here for a while, you've been saved and not coming for a while, it doesn't end with let's come to Jesus. Let's read on. What does it say in verse 16? And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. You understand what just happened? They came, they saw, they believed. There's the Messiah. They went and told.
Amen.
When's the last time you told somebody about Jesus? This is what should happen. They didn't have no soul winning class. They hadn't been to seminary. They hadn't been members of the church. Matter of fact, nowhere in here do you find even that they had went through believer's baptism. We find all kind of excuses. Well, that's Sunday school teacher. I don't see them going to Sunday school. Oh, that's the preacher's job. Oh, the deacon should do all that. These are simple shepherds.
Amen.
That when they saw, they believed, they simply had to tell somebody. Have you told anybody since you've been saved that Jesus loves them? That He wants to save their soul and make them part of His family? It's a natural progression. That's what God expects and what God wants. You know, I come to realize, you know why He didn't use the Magi here? Because then we would say, it's because they are kings. We have no excuse. He took the lowliest of lowly, announced His birth to them, and made them part of His family. And they begin to share what Jesus has done with them. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Janice is going to come. Brother Jim's going to come sing a song of invitation with the church. If you're lost this morning, you don't know Christ, come, let us take the Bible and show you from the Word of God how you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Perhaps you're a child of God and you just have not been allowing the Holy Spirit to work on you. The altar's open. Come use them. Talk to God. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Come talk to Him. What page, Brother Jim?